Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. You've all seen the photos, a white furred harp seal pup looking up at the camera with tears in its eyes saying, "Won't you please save me from those evil, greedy hunters who want to skin me alive just for my fur?" Images like these have been seen worldwide and raised millions of dollars for animal rights and environmental groups from Greenpeace to IFAW. And what is wrong with this picture? A lot, say Inuit activists, and it's making them angry. Angry Inuk is a new documentary from the National Film Board having its world premiere at Hot Docs Documentary Festival. It looks at the role of the seal hunt in Inuit culture and the results the EU ban on seal products had on them. It also follows a group of Inuit trying to change people's minds. Their stories and her own are told by filmmaker Alethea Arnakuk-Baril. And I'm very pleased to have Alethea here in studio, direct from Iqaluit, to tell us more about Angry Inuk. Hi, Alethea.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. So, in your mind, what's wrong with the image I described at the beginning?
Well, first of all, it's never an image of Inuit seal hunters. It's not what looks like seal hunting in the Arctic. And the vast majority of commercial seal hunters are actually Inuit. So we're just kind of excluded from the image of commercial sealing. And even the image that these groups tend to portray is inaccurate for the southern commercial seal hunting that goes on in Canada. So, you know, for example, the white coat baby harp seal, it's been illegal to hunt those for 35 years now. And saying that they'll skin the seals alive. Seals have a swimming reflex, so it's like a chicken running around with its head cut off. They're actually dead, but sometimes they continue moving for a short time after their death. I could go on and on, but there's so many misconceptions that are put out there. And these groups tend to depend on the fact that most people don't know the biological functions of a seal and the fact that the populations are extremely healthy despite commercial sealing for hundreds of years. So, you know, it's hard to discuss the issue on the terms of the southern commercial hunt because there's so much propaganda out there. But even aside from that, totally separate from the southern hunt, is also Inuit commercial sealing in the high Arctic. And many people don't know that the vast majority of seal hunters are actually Inuit in the world.
So the title of your movie is Angry Inuk.
Mm-hmm.
How do Inuit express their anger traditionally?
Well, it took me a while to realize this about myself and where it comes from in me to respond to unfair situations in a quiet way. It made me wonder why people never see or understand how badly Inuit are affected and have been affected for decades by anti-seal hunt campaigns. But my friend Ayu Peter, who's a longtime activist for Inuit seal hunting rights, explained to me, and you know, it's something I've grown up with, but just was never really consciously aware of. But Inuit tend to express anger in a really quiet, respectful way compared to Western culture. And for this reason, I think people often underestimate how angry we might be about something. So there might be a situation where in southern Canada, Canadians would respond by, you know, throwing up blockades and throwing bombs and like protesting and marching in the streets. And Inuit will just stand there and say, "Excuse me, but this isn't fair." And so the volume of our anger is quieter.
So why is the seal hunt so important to the Inuit?
Well, there's so many reasons it's hard to even know where to begin. But
So talk about the role mm-hmm. of the seal hunt in Inuit life.
Mm-hmm. I grew up eating seal meat, born and raised in the Arctic, and it's a staple food for many, many Inuit still today. And in a place where, you know, we don't have trees, we don't have farms, it is physically impossible to grow produce in permafrost. And, you know, when the most available food source is a plentiful animal, that's what you turn to. It's not only available and more affordable, it's also more nutritious. So the seal has been the animal that's most plentiful and available in the Arctic for millennia, and it's become, it's not only our food source, but it's become part of our identity from the beginning of Inuit living in the Arctic. So we are the people of the seal. And so when animal groups attack seal hunters and paint us all as inherently inhumane people, then that it's really damaging not only to our food source and our economy, but to our identity as well.
Well, how big a factor is it in your economy? For hunters?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's always been huge, even before the cash economy, before Europeans came. Inuit would trade with other Inuit and other First Nations people. There's evidence of trade across cultures in North America for hundreds of years. And then when Europeans came, it became a cash economy. And so we've been... It's been our main economy since Inuit have existed up in the north. But in recent times, in recent decades, it's harder to see that because our economy was crushed by animal rights campaigns, successfully lobbying dozens of nations to ban seal products. So we aren't making as much, nearly as much. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what we used to make on seal skins, but it still is an important economy. But we feel that loss, going from selling 60 to 100,000 seal skins in a year down to 3,000 or 4,000, that's a lot of cash lost. It's a lot of meat that's not brought home to the families because Inuit sell the seal skins, and that cash allows them to buy fuel and ammunition to continue hunting and feeding their families. And most Inuit in Canada still share their meat for free with their community members. That's a part of our traditional economy. So it's affected us in a lot of ways.
You show people eating seal in mm-hmm. your film. Is it often eaten raw?
Very often.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yes. I grew up eating raw seal meat. My son, 15-month-old son, loves seal meat. There's a little cute little scene in there of him.
he looks like a vampire or something.
Yeah, he's like lunging. He's tiny. He just thinks he can take this huge hunk of meat and shove the whole thing in his mouth. It's hilarious. And I think it's super cute. And I'm aware that some people will be grossed out by that. But it's...
Does it taste good?
It's so good. It's delicious. My husband's from here in Toronto, so he didn't grow up eating seal meat. And it took him a few tries to kind of get over the foreign factor. You know, it's just different to him. But now he just scarfs it down like the rest of us up there. He loves it.
And someone in your film says, men eat this part, women eat that part. Which parts are they pointing to?
That's really traditional. It's different parts of the spine. So it varies by community. Community to community, but in that community that we're filming in, the woman was pointing to a part of the spine, and the lower parts were the I forget what it's called, the vertebra are larger. The men eat those, and the higher up, smaller ones, the women eat those. There's also a part on the kind of around the shoulder blade called the dayanir that is reserved for women. It's the most delicate, tender, scrumptious part. It's kind of reserved for the women.
So. Something happened in 1983. Can you talk about that and mm-hmm. what were the very real effects?
Mm-hmm. In 1983, as a result of, I guess, a couple of decades of lobbying from the anti-seal hunt groups, the European Union, called the European Community at the time, but they banned products made from white coat harp seal pups. And although that's a very specific type of seal skin from one particular species, the whole market for all kinds of seal skin crashed immediately. And Inuit, although there was technically an exemption for Inuit, even though we don't hunt white coat harp seals, we mainly hunt ringed seals here in Canada. The harp seals give birth much farther south, so we don't even have access to baby harp seals. But the whole market crashed, and Inuit incomes, you know, for example, in Resolute Bay, their income went from about $50,000 a year down to $1,000 a year.
My God.
So it was immediate. It was devastating. People went hungry. Even people my age remember being small children and the shame and embarrassment and the poverty and hunger. So it's very raw. It's very it's a very tender nerve that people still feel today. Even though the sealskin economy is extremely weak right now for us, we still feel the loss. People are still going hungry from it. 7 in 10 Inuit children go to school hungry.
The Inuit people were traditionally nomadic, mm-hmm. but the last 30, 40 years, people have settled in cities or towns like Iqaluit, Arviat, mm-hmm. Rankin Inlet. So is it important in the towns as well as people who live in mm-hmm. small settlements?
That's a really good question. We were actually semi-nomadic, and that means there were semi-permanent settlements. So my family kind of camped in one area during the summer and then moved over to another area during the winter, and it just made sense for the animal migrations and which animals were available at that season. And throughout the 1950s and 60s, the Canadian government had a series of initiatives, you know, maybe well-intentioned, maybe not, I don't know. But they're designed to force Inuit off of the land, away from their traditional grounds and into permanent settlements. And this was done so that they could more easily administer Inuit as Canadian citizens, which gave Canada sovereignty over the Arctic and therefore all of the oil and minerals and diamonds and all of that in the Arctic. So Inuit were forced into communities by, you know, having their kids taken away and put into schools, by having all their sled dogs shot so that they couldn't travel farther anymore.
Communities, it's a horrible, totally different topic, but it's just shocking, the shooting of the dogs.
Different topic, but very, very related, which it meant that Inuit then had to hunt with snowmobiles and therefore needed money to buy fuel. And when their kids have to go to school, they can't venture as far away from town, because they have to come back often for the children to go to school, so they can't stray as far away anymore and need snowmobiles to be able to go as far as they need to hunt the animals. So Inuit very suddenly became dependent on a cash economy and could no longer live traditionally. I'm often asked by people on Twitter, animal activists saying, well, why don't you just go back to hunting the way you used to? And it's just not that simple. We can't do that anymore. Our kids have to go to school. We have to pay rent. We have to pay our cell phone bills just like everybody else.
It's very expensive up there.
It's extremely expensive.
I know people
expensive.
Who live in Iqaluit, and they say it's astronomically expensive.
Yes, and Iqaluit's probably the cheapest place to live in Nunavut.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So celebrities and activists like Paul McCartney and Pamela Anderson, they say the seal hunt is cruel and wasteful. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them if they said that to you?
Well, I would say that they've been fed imagery designed by groups that make tens of millions of dollars a year by painting that image of commercial sealing. And it's an image that completely erases Inuit from the picture, because the vast majority of commercial sealers are actually Inuit, and we hunt the seals one or two at a time. The whole animal is used, the meat's eaten. The skin is used, even the bones are used to make jewelry and decorations and toys. So it's just simply wrong. And the existence of Inuit in the commercial sealskin market is very inconvenient for these groups and their fundraising tactics.
But the EU says they put in an exemption for seals from Inuit.
Yeah, that was a brilliant...
What does that mean?
Yeah, it really means nothing. That was a brilliant tactic to try to trick people into thinking that Inuit would be okay. The fact is, fashion designers who buy raw materials, whether it's leather or fur or whatever, they want to buy materials so that they can sell anywhere in the world. Of course, you're not going to want to make clothing that you can only sell in certain countries as a fashion designer. You want it to go everywhere. So when you ban certain products from certain countries, it just ruins the reputation for the whole sealskin market. And so even if there's an exemption, it doesn't help us if we are only able to sell our sealskins for $10 or $0, you know, what's the point of being technically allowed to give our sealskins away for free in Europe?
Well, thanks for educating me and hopefully a lot of listeners about.
Thank you. It's the Inuit voice isn't heard very often on this subject, so I appreciate the interview.
Thanks for talking with me. Alethea, Arnakuk Barrel's film Angry Inuk is having its world premiere at Hot Docs International Documentary Film Festival on Monday. Go to hotdocs.ca for more information. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.